Harihi Om. Sahana Bhavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastuma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. So here now we're, the armies are preparing, and Duryodhana has sent over Shakuni's son, Uluka, to give a message to Yudhishthir, in other words, just to harass him, like that. So you come. So then Uluka says, I will only speak what Duryodhana has told me to say, and nothing more. Yudhishthir smiled and showed Uluka to a seat in his tent. Do not fear, you may speak freely here. Tell us what the small-minded Duryodhana, driven by greed and lacking in foresight, has said. So he's made his whole comment about the character of Duryodhana in just that one sentence, right? You know, though, even though Duryodhana may be, you know, how his behavior is, one might be afraid to speak. But Yudhishthir is saying you don't have to worry about that here. And you can see how it is. Uluka looked around the tent. All the Pandava chiefs were present. With their bright armor and colorful silks, they resembled glowing planets decorating the firmament. They were all watching him and waiting for the message. When Uluka had finished, the Pandavas leapt from their seats. Speechless with rage, they stared at each other and ground their teeth. Their breath came in hot blasts. They seemed like infuriated serpents. Bhima's eyes turned red, and he looked across at Krishna, who laughed and said, Oh, Uluka, go back to your master and tell him we have heard his message and understood its meaning. Let it be as he says. The battle will begin tomorrow. Having heard Duryodhana's abusive words, the assembly of kings resembled the storm-crossed ocean. They rose up roaring and slapped their arms. Rubbing his hands together, Bhima roared, O fool, we have heard your words, intended to rouse us to action as if we were weak and inactive. Uluka, carry my reply back to your master. Duryodhana, only due to respect for our elder brother have we tolerated you for so long. The virtuous Yudhishthir has offered peace. You have refused. Pushed by your own fate, you now desire to meet Yamaraj. The battle will certainly begin tomorrow. I have vowed to slay you and all your brothers. Do not doubt my power to carry out this vow. The ocean may transgress its banks. The mountains may split asunder, but my words will not prove false. O you of little sense, not even the gods and demons combined can save you now. I will drink Dushasana's blood and grind the rest of the Kauravas into the earth. Any Kshatriya approaching me in anger will at once go to death's abode. I swear by my soul that I speak the truth. Sahadeva then stepped forward. Tell this to the fool who gives you orders. Only because of you has this dispute arisen. You are born for the destruction of your own race, and indeed of the world. Goaded on by Shakuni, you have always acted with evil intentions towards us. You will soon be slain by me before all your warriors. Duryodhana's message was creating a tumult in the Pandava's tent. The kings and warriors shouted and waved their weapons at Uluka. Arjuna calmed them. He then turned to Bhima and said, O Bhimsena, be patient. Those who have made you their enemy will soon be destroyed. Nothing can save them. There's no need to rebuke Uluka. He is only an envoy. What fault can an envoy commit? The words he spoke were not his own. Arjuna looked at the assembled kings. You have all heard Duryodhana's foul speech directed towards Krishna. With your leave, I will give my response. By now, Uluka was trembling. Arjuna said, Tell Duryodhana, tomorrow you will have my reply delivered by the Gandiva. Only eunuchs use words as weapons. Arjuna took a seat by Yudhishthir's side, who then said, I have heard your master's words, Uluka. Tell him in reply, O fool, you have ever adopted an evil course with us. Although you lack power, you now challenge us to war. Depending on others' prowess, you utter threats. A real Kshatriya fights his enemies depending on his own power. Since you aren't able to do so, why do you roar so much? Because he's making this whole scene, which is very true here, is that it's only because he has Karna and Bhishma and Drona. He says, you know, when you see all of them out there, then you'll be afraid. You'll wonder why you're here. You know, they'll go running away. It's not because they see him, because Bhima has defeated him so many times physically. And we see that Arjuna has defeated him also twice, you know, just in the last, you know, very short time. And so, and that's not counting the Gandharvas, right? And so that's the point that they're making, is that because of other strength, he has 11 Akshauhini, now he's very proud. But the point is it's not his own strength. So his point is, Kshatriyas, they fight on their own strength. But this is not, you know, so it means he's good at politics. But, you know, as a Kshatriya, the main point of a Kshatriya, the ability to protect and those things, that's not where his strength. Seeing that Yudhishthir had finished, right? So that was, Yudhishthir made that point. Arjuna only said that one sentence. You're just using words to harass others. But it says the real Kshatriyas, they just fight. They don't talk so much. So he's already insulted him there, and then Yudhishthir made his point. Seeing that Yudhishthir had finished, Uluka rose from his seat to depart. Krishna checked him. Also say this to Duryodhana. O sinful one, you think that I shall be of no consequence in this war, as I will not fight. Do not make such a miscalculation. I will act as Arjuna's charioteer, and you will see him everywhere, destroying your forces as fire burns dry grass. Even if you go beyond the three worlds or enter the nether regions, you will see Arjuna's chariot there tomorrow. No matter where you go, you'll see him. And Krishna can take, as we saw, Krishna took the chariot, driving. They went through the coverings of the universe, went to visit Mahavishnu. So when he says that, he's it's something he can do. You also think Bhima has indulged in idle threats, but you can consider that he has already drunk Dushasana's blood. Neither Yudhishthir nor his brothers are in the least afraid of you. You are only strong in speech. As Krishna stopped speaking, Arjuna leapt to his feet. He was not satisfied with the curt response he had given to Duryodhana. He spoke again, "Tell this to your master. O worst of men, having installed Bhishma as your commander, you are boasting that Arjuna and his brothers will never attack him, but I will make him my first target." Arjuna's voice seethed with restrained rage as he went on. Although the worshipable grandfather's senses are under control, and he possesses great wisdom, he has taken your side and chosen to die. I will not hesitate to direct my arrows toward him. O Duryodhana, your hopes are in vain. You are arrogant, harsh, inhuman, addicted to vice, partial, and you hate virtue. You will soon receive the consequences of your nature. When I am angry and have Krishna as my second, what hope can you have for success? Your relatives will soon lament your death. When you are struck down by Bhima, you will recall your foolishness, right? So maybe now he won't, but when Bhima actually strikes you down, then you'll remember all this. And we have to remember, this is after 18, you know, means the next day starts day one, 18 days, and then it's the war is done. And so it's not a long time for all this to take place and all this to be effective. When Arjuna sat down, Uluka bowed before Yudhishthir, trembling with fear. Reassuring him, Yudhishthir said, "Say this to Duryodhana also. You have judged me improperly. I do not desire to harm even worms or ants. What to speak of my relatives? Thus I was prepared to accept only 5 villages to avoid this war. It is only due to you that this calamity has arisen, O man of meager understanding. Overpowered by lust, you could not accept Krishna's advice. For that reason, you rant like one deprived of the senses. What is the use of your words? Come out and fight along with all your friends. Death awaits you." And we also have, you know, can appreciate that Yudhishthir, you know, because he has that thing of connected with Dharmaraj. So when he says death awaits you, then, you know, he's saying on strong ground here. Bhima wrung his hands together and breathed heavily. Although he would have accepted a peaceful solution to the conflict, he could not deny his joy at the prospect of finally confronting the sinful Kauravas. Uluka's message has stroked his long-cherished anger to the point of distraction. But he would have to wait until morning, right? Because if it was right now they said it and they could come out and fight immediately, then that was ideal. You know? But he has to wait till the next day. It would be a long night. Suppressing his rage, Bhima spoke again to Uluka even more harshly. This is my final word to Duryodhana. O sinful one, either remain in Hastinapur or lie in the belly of a vulture. Those are the only choices left for you now. I swear by truth that my words made in the council hall will come to pass. I will drink Dushasana's blood, and I will smash your thighs. Know me as the death of all Dhritarashtra's sons. As Uluka turned and bowed to the assembled kings, Drishtadyumna's voice rang out. O Uluka, tell Duryodhana I was born to kill Drona. He and all his followers will die at my hands. There is no doubt. What more need I say? Right, because he was born from the fire just for that purpose. So means that he appeared means that will happen. Uluka went out of the tent backwards, bowing from his waist with his palms folded. He ran over to his chariot and leapt aboard, urging his horses back to the court of the camp. Yudhishthir began to move his army into position on the battlefield. Drishtadyumna appointed specific attacks to the principal warriors. Each chariot fighter was to protect the divisions of foot soldiers from the enemy charioteers. Equals should fight equals. The chiefs of the army were allotted chiefs on the opposing side. Bhima would fight with Duryodhana, Sahadeva with Shakuni, Nakula with Ashwatthama, Shikhandi with Bhishma, Uttamauja with Kripa, and Drishtadyumna would engage with Drona. Abhimanyu, whom he considered as powerful as Arjuna, was ordered to engage with all the kings supporting Duryodhana, while Arjuna had the task of protecting the entire army. Gradually, the Pandavas' forces arrayed themselves. By evening, everyone was in position, ready to march into battle the next morning. Duryodhana was sitting amid all his generals when Uluka returned and delivered the Pandavas' replies. The prince sneered and turned to Bhishma. The war begins tomorrow, O grandfather. What should be done now? Bhishma, having surrendered himself to the certainty of war and the hopelessness of making Duryodhana see sense, replied, After bowing before Kumara, the god of war, I will act as your general. I am capable of organizing armies as Brihaspati. Conversant with every means of attack and defense employed by men, god, and demons, I will confound the Pandavas. I will fight according to the rules laid down in holy books, all of which I know. Let your fears be gone. Right. So, as he's pointed out, is that all these others you see are on Yudhishthir's side. They're all in that mood of respect for Yudhishthir, that they're here to help and fight for the good cause and all that. And so they're each individual fighters who are uniting together, and they're all then fighting. But you see with Duryodhana, then he expects everyone to fight on his behalf, and then you see like Bhishma here, he's fighting on his behalf. So it's kind of like, because he's such an idiot, they're taking care of him, rather than because they respect him, they're taking care. Very different. Duryodhana did not like hearing that he might be afraid. I'm not afraid even of the gods and asuras united. O you of long arms, I tell you this truly. How much less afraid am I when I have you as my commander and Drona by my side? Right, so he's saying he's not, but he was defeated by Gandharvas and stuff. Like he's talking about the host of demigods. Some Gandharvas caught him, and they're not the most powerful. Right? O best of men, with you fighting for me, I think kingship of the gods would not be hard to attain. So he's dealing with them, but it's not so much etiquette in that, like you see with Yudhishthir's side. They're mentioning that their glorification is actually etiquette and actual respect. But with Duryodhana, it's all politics. It's just diplomacy, just to say things nice so that they'll be inspired, so they'll fight their best, so he gets what he wants. Right? Duryodhana paused reflectively. Surely his army was invincible, especially under Bhishma and Drona's leadership. But the Pandavas had so far proven difficult to overpower. Even without the support of an army, now they had amassed 7 divisions of warriors ready for war. And the brothers, protected by the wily Krishna, would fight filled with rage. He had made sure of that. The Kaurava looked inquisitively at Bhishma. I desire to hear from you about the strengths and weaknesses of the enemy, and of course ourselves. Please tell me everything you know. Sitting before a large number of warriors in Duryodhana's tent, Bhishma said, O king, listen, I describe to you who are the Ratas, Maharatas, and Adhiratas in your army. There are thousands of Ratas on your side, each capable of contending with 1,000 warriors at once. There are also numerous Maharatas who can stand against 10,000, and many Adhiratas who can face an almost unlimited number of opponents. You, O son of Gandhari, are an Adhirata, and your brothers are all Maharatas. All of you are skillful elephant and chariot drivers and expert with weapons. You will slay Pandava forces in large numbers. Bhishma then described the strength of every principal warrior on the Kaurava's side. He described Kritavarma, Shalya, Kripa, Drona, Ashwatthama, and Bahlika as Adhiratas. Right, so his main generals there. When it came to Karna, usually considered an Adhirata, and upon whom Duryodhana had pinned his hopes, Bhishma said, because of Parasuram's curse and the loss of his celestial armor, he is no longer powerful. Although he brags of his prowess, and you have elevated him to a higher position station than he deserves, he is of little consequence. In battle, he becomes confounded and is too soft on the enemy. In my opinion, he is only half a Rata. When he becomes before Arjuna, he will not escape with his life. Drona agreed, it is so. What you say is never false. Right? Because he has Parasuram's curse, so that means when he really needs it. Means if he's fighting well, means he doesn't really need it. He's not in danger himself. He's fighting very well, so he has a good capacity. But he's not in danger. When his life is actually in danger, he won't be able to use his weapons. He won't be able to remember the mantras like that. Means he can shoot his bow and arrow, but he won't be able to remember the mantras to release Astras. Karna started up from his seat, his eyes angry. Oh, grandfather, you are ever given to piercing me with your sharp words. What sin have I committed that you derive such pleasure from insulting me? I tolerate it only for Duryodhana's sake. In my opinion, you too are only half a Rata. They just talk, him and Duryodhana. That's the whole point. They don't understand. He's of celestial origin. You know, Ganga Devi's his mother. He was trained by Brihaspati and Sukracharya, and you know, so what he knows and what he can do. Like, Karna is very good with his bow and arrow, but we remember as you know, when he was 16-year-old youth, that Bhishma would shoot his arrows, and so quickly and so perfectly that they would make a dam and actually stop the Ganga. There's no water. And then she would rise up and then come over, and then he'd do it again. And that, you know, it's just, you know, mother and son playing. And so when he saw the Ganga empty, then Maharaj Shantanu, then he's going, what? How is this? You know, the Ganga is so big and powerful. How can she have no water? But then so he went upstream and he saw what was going on. He's thinking, who is this youth? And then Ganga Devi said, this is your son. And so... Yeah, so Karna's not like that. He's not that great. He's good, but he's not. No one compares to Bhishma. The only one that can compare technically is Arjuna, like that. Drona is also especially good, but it's like these three are the most outstanding. But Karna and Duryodhana talk as if they're nothing and they're everything. But this is their foolishness. So we will see how the fools continue to talk. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.